today, you know, we have several lecture series. One of them is called the Subnational Asia, which is looking inward into some of these countries, which is what this is part of. We have a transnational one that looks at the international relations, and a number of other lecture series as well. I'm just going to hand it over in a second to my colleague Christina Fink, who's from the Elliott School, who will then do us the honors of introducing the director. And it's a great privilege to have the director of the film with us. And I noticed that sometimes the news is cooperative with me. And this morning I opened up the Financial Times, which we get because my husband is in the business school. Not, I don't get it, but it appears at our front door. So today when I opened it up, it said, it had a huge article on Burma, and it said, at Freedom's Gate, Burma begins to open up. Well, I have a sense that the subject today had something to do with that opening up, the main character in the film. So without further ado, let me turn it over to my colleague, Christina Fink.
Hi, I'm Christina Fink, and I'm a professor in the Department of International Development Studies here at the Elliott School, and I've been working on Burma for the last 16 years. I'm going to just tell you what we're going to do in the next hour and a half. I'll introduce Rex, and then we'll watch the film, and afterwards we'll have a question and answer session. Let me introduce Rex. Rex Bloomstein is the director of this film, and he's been making documentary films for the last more than 20 years, if I'm not wrong, right?
Much more.
He's been working for BBC television and also making his own independent films. He's an award-winning filmmaker who has made films on human rights issues, the Holocaust, and the prison system in England. Rex, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. First of all, let me thank the center for inviting me and for showing the film. And I'll try and move on swiftly from that. And to Christina especially for arranging this. It's a remarkable time. In Burma's history, and but the genesis of this film very quickly stemmed from an earlier film I made on freedom of expression called An Independent Mind. And in that film, the idea, the concept was to film artists, writers, cartoonists, journalists, musicians from around the world under threat, facing persecution for expressing their fundamental right. And amongst the people that I explored and thought about and investigated were a bunch of Burmese comedians called the Moustache Brothers. So amongst the characters that I was filming around the world, I made contact with fixers and others in Burma to film the Moustache Brothers, a remarkable group who perform illegally every day in their house in Mandalay. But on my way there, and when I arrived, I was told in no uncertain terms by our contacts, you must film the man. I said, well, I'm filming the Moustache. No, you've got to film the great comedian of Burma. But I said, who's that? And they said, he's a man called Zagana. And he is a legendary figure in Burma. And he was out of prison, a man who had been in conflict with the regime for all his life, and had crossed that line, that interesting line, between being an entertainer and an activist, because he felt he had to. Anyway, it was illegal for him and very risky for him to be interviewed by me and by anybody from foreign media, but he agreed, and we filmed for a weekend. I then went on to Mandalay to film the Moustache Brothers, came back to the UK, and in the editing process, I realized that I couldn't use, as I did with several countries, except really one person or one figure from that country, and decided on the Moustache Brothers. So Zagana's material lay on a shelf, and I was rung 15 months ago by an NGO, Index on Censorship, and Penn, who had helped me in the making of the film. They said, do you know that Zagana is back in jail? He's been given 59 years. I couldn't believe it. I looked at the material, and it's about 3.5 hours, and I thought, well, I've got to try and make a campaigning film for him. But I couldn't raise any money. And that's where I'm going to stop. Because the story of the film, and the making of it, and what happened to us, and who helped, is all in the film. So thanks for coming. Before anybody goes, I have some good news. He's freed. Last week. So things are changing. I had to tell the audience too.
Absolutely. So for those of you who came in late, we have Rex Bloomstein, the film director, here, and we have some time for questions. So please feel free. Any questions? Comments? Jokes you want to share?
Since he's now released, will you try to get back to him? Given the changing climate environment, do you think he'll be more active again?
Well, he's determined not to stop. I spoke to him briefly on the phone, which was great. Christine is a much greater expert on the Burma situation than I am, but his spirit is such that he won't collude, I don't think. I think he may want to try and leave the country for a while, because many people would like to see him and speak with him and so on. But whether he's allowed a passport, which he doesn't have, and then even if he does go, whether he's allowed to come back, who knows? But the situation is very fluid. But there may be a coda to the film that one ought to try, which is I might just say this with your permission. There's an organization called Democratic Voice of Burma, which beams illegally into Burma every day, a couple of hours. And they acquired the film, and I gave them the permission. They beamed it into Burma, and it can be potentially seen by several million Burmese, including the intelligence services and the army. And that was beamed in September. Maybe the film contributed to Zaganar being considered in the first batch of political prisoners released. If it did, I'm pleased, but who knows? The dictatorship is an arbitrary, unknown world in which they make these decisions, all politically calculated, etc., etc. But, you know, documentary can help, at least to bring some illumination to what's going on, concentrate on a person. And maybe we helped.
Other questions?
What was the actual crime he was sentenced for?
The Electronics Act is a... Do you want to answer this? Do you know about the exact...
Well, he had a blog. And so he was writing on his blog, and that was going out internationally. And you're not allowed to have access to internet technology without a license. They made that act several years ago. And of course, very few people have a license, but they can use that when they need to as a reason to arrest people.
He also gave interviews to the BBC.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they hated him. They do hate him so much. And because of that, I think they got him on this. It's a catch-all act that's designed to catch anybody whose comments are public, who they can see to be endangering the regime. And it's a very classic tool of censorship, you know, these sort of acts that, frankly, elites and governments anywhere can use legislation to silence people they don't like, they're afraid of. And this is a fundamental denial of freedom of expression. So a lot of people get caught under that.
Is that act still in place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But I think the point, too, is that he embarrassed the regime to the international community. And face is very important in Southeast Asia. So to be bringing out the dirty laundry to the international community is something that really upset them.
Especially the Burmese.
Yeah,
one of your own, And he was infuriated, as indeed. I mean, the regime did it not, Christina, attract worldwide condemnation for its inaction over the cyclone. 150,000 people. They wouldn't even allow relief efforts at one moment. And the whole situation was extraordinary. And he was infuriated, and as you saw, created his own relief effort. And then spoke about it.
Yes.
I just
want to
say, I think it's a wonderful film. Very effective, very enlightening, and these two extraordinary people to bring together the Nazi dictatorship, past and the present in this way. It's wonderful, and thank you.
That's it. Thank you, Ray.
I mean,
yes.
Thank
you.
I just have a question. So, in the scene when you went to the prison, obviously there was a lot of tension there, and there was a lot of danger, and you can sort of see that for Michael. But I'm sort of wondering what that experience was like for you.
For me, yeah, very tense. Well, I kept all my dialogue in.
Yeah.
Afraid, rather expletives and everything. It was actually, it was tense. You could say, why did we do this? You know, why did we endanger people, or why did we feel? And I tried to share that with you, the audience. And there are risks. There are risks all the time when you make such documentaries. I have to say, maybe it's probably not often that, maybe it's not a usual thing that filmmakers share the risks with the audience. There are assumptions made, and you know, it's a medium which you can disguise anything. But I'm interested in trying to get a truthfuler a reflection of what happened. And I felt somehow being honest with the audience was more involving. And but you know, I think it's awful that what happened to this guy. We've actually supported him. He's out of the country. Still doesn't go back. He still hasn't gone back. But I personally felt, I mean, it could have happened that they got us, arrested us. We could have been roughed up in a police station, then deported. I doubt if they would have kept one of Germany's most famous comedians in jail, but you don't know, do you? I doubt it. But I'm not a frontline journalist. Frontline people are television crews that are doing much, you know, doing this sort of stuff all the time. And that's why journalists are often killed and so on.
Has the film been broadcast
on
television anywhere, or more
widely? Good question. There is a television version of it. There is actually a longer version, believe it or not, 90-minute feature doc version. I've shown that I've traveled about 14 countries this year through Amnesty International and others and British embassies. It's not a commercial film, never will be, never make any money. Michael, in fact, paid for it. You know, never make the money back, but he believed in it, and he's a remarkable character, as my friend here said. I don't think it'll ever be shown here on television. It's unlikely. And to some extent, its journey is towards its end because he's out. But it is a lesson, isn't it? It is. Perhaps you might comment on that. It's a little piece of history, isn't it?
Well, also the fact that there's still about 1,800 political prisoners in Burma, right? And we'll since Sagan has been released...
Nearly 2,000.
Yeah. There were about 2,100 before he was released, and now about 200 and a few more were released, so 1,800 plus.
1,800 prisoners left.
And he has been pleading for their release ever since he was released a couple of weeks ago.
That's why he's still active. He's campaigning for those people he left behind. And that's why, and I'd like to hear Christina on this, the situation is so interesting. Is it a genuine move towards, you know, accountability and democratic structures? Or is this, as they've done before, clever maneuverings to try and get sanctions lifted? And, you know, then there's the role of Aung San Suu Kyi in her negotiations. So it's an interesting situation. But the film exists. It's a record.
I just had a question about the political prisoners, just because I had heard that they made a vow, or they claimed to have made some sort of promise to release, I think it was like 2,300 political prisoners.
They said they were going to release, about how many were released? Almost 7,000 prisoners were released total, but 6,800 of those people were criminals. Right, so the only 200 in that number were actually political prisoners. The rest were in prison for other kinds of crimes, like stealing or drug use and things like that. There are expectations that more people will be released, but I think that the military leadership is very nervous that if people are released, will they start organizing people? Will it be a challenge to their government? So I think that they're proceeding cautiously.
Is there a locale or a link or somewhere where we can watch the distribute or watch the film?
Well, again, a good question. I think it should end up online, and to some extent, you can get quite a lot of it on YouTube. How, I do not know. Maybe you can tell me. Maybe it was you, but I don't know. It's extraordinary what happens on the net now, and that is its future. There's many films, future will be on online. But there is a website, this prison where I live, .co.uk, where we try and give some warning of screenings that are coming up, still coming up. And of course, Amnesty International have did adopt Zakaria as a prison of conscience. And
okay.
All their groups, many of the groups, they've been marvelous, have shown the film. But there isn't there will be a DVD, but in German. Maybe you speak fluent German. But there is the possibility of a UK, an English language DVD, which might be still worth doing if we have a scene at the end of Zakaria being released.
Yeah.
But you know, anything can happen. Yeah. Anything can happen.
As far as the people that you didn't get to interview while over there, can you just devote it to what you were hoping to get out of those interviews, friends, family, what you were hoping to get out of interaction with them?
What I'm hoping to get out of what?
The people you couldn't actually interview in Rangoon.
Oh, those, yes, indeed. The there were some very interesting people there. Actors, fellow actors, relatives, and all of whom had a lot to say. But in the end, they were just too frightened to do it. And I was hoping they would illuminate Zaganar's life, his importance in the community. You know, he's a national figure. Try and think of an American comedian of a similar stature. And him, what? Okay. Imagine John Stewart been in prison. A lot of people would like him to be in prison, but he's not. And he's terrific, John Stewart. And he's and I wanted people to illuminate, tell us more about him, but they couldn't.
There's another.
Is he really reunited with his family now?
Got a good question. I don't know. I met his family were here when we did a premiere in March here in Washington. And I met his wife and daughter and son. My God, he's sacrificed his family life, Zag. And I don't know how his wife copes with it. And I don't know whether she's getting back or he'll try and get out. So as far as I know, he's not reunited. But will he be?
The theater group that he was working with before he was... And when you visited back, it was empty. Do you know what happened to that theater group?
They're all back in Rangoon.
Half of them.
At least half of them. Yeah. Others went to Thailand, but I think most of them are back.
They went back. They actually left the country after they gave a performance. And a lot of videos were being distributed around Burma of their performances, and they felt like they were in danger, and they organized an international tour outside the country. And once they went on that tour, they did not go back to Burma. And they spent a few years based in Thailand, and then after the new government took power earlier this year, they said, we welcome back all exiles. And half of the group decided to go back. And so far, they've been okay.
They include Fry Banana and Godzilla.
Any last questions? Okay, well, thank you all so much for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
So, where's the DVD?